Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is indeed the broadcast for January the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. Our goal is to promote God, family, and country, protect life, liberty, and property. And man, we believe we got the greatest country on the face of the earth. Donald wants to make America great again. We think we've already got one of the greatest countries, but no doubt we could reverse some horrible policies. We can return to the supreme law of the land, and we could certainly turn to our God for starters. Welcome to the broadcast. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live from Radio Row in Washington, D.C. now. And amazingly enough, we've got an incredible guest to kick things off right from the start. We got a guy by the name of James with us, and James Dozier happens to be with Citizens for Responsible Energy. Is that right, James?
Yeah, Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions. We're a nonprofit organization that works to engage with Republican policymakers and the public about common sense conservative solutions to address our nation's need for abundant, reliable, secure energy while also making sure that we're being good stewards of our environment.
You know, that's an interesting discussion when we say to be good stewards of our environment. You know, if you're not careful, that sounds like a liberal statement. I don't agree that it is. And the reason I say that is, you know, we all agree, at least under God, that, hey, we have a resource called the earth given to us by God. We've been told to take care of it and care for it. So I think the responsible side comes to care for the earth and be responsible about our actions regarding the earth. However, you can cross the line really quickly, though, and decide that government needs to be at the center of it all, right?
Yeah, I mean, look. Over the last 8 years, there's been a big conversation or debate, argument even, around the things that are dividing us, be it climate change or, you know, the role of government in this conversation about how we produce our abundant natural resources. What we're focused on is how do we work with members in the House and the Senate and the incoming administration to advance energy solutions that will maximize what we're producing here in the U.S. in a reliable way, in a cheap way, and even clean. I agree with you. Look, everyone wants clean air and clean water. We all appreciate the beautiful landscapes that we have here in the United States, and we all want to work towards preserving those for the next generation. How we go about doing it should be the conversation.
Well, and how much money we spend from government, in my opinion, creating a moral hazard of another kind we financially cannot afford. I look at a lot of these wind energy and solar energy options. I like a lot of them. I think they're great. But for government to subsidize and promote them to the point of ridiculous, at some point we just say we can't afford it. There's got to be a way forward that works.
I do think this conversation is occurring across the board in the energy sector. What is the appropriate role for government? Is it in research and development? Is it through the tax code? We're about to have a conversation here in D.C. around tax reform and what is the appropriate role in government in that. And that's a conversation we should be engaging on both sides of the aisle, and both sides of the aisle should be coming forward with constructive solutions on this conversation. What I'm looking forward to is, you know, we've had Republican leaders in the House and the Senate trying to solve these issues in a way that promotes the free market, that allows new technologies to compete, and brings innovative technologies to the market so that folks can access them, can help lower their energy bills. And similarly, you know, as we talk about infrastructure going into the next administration, energy is going to play a big part of that conversation, because it's not just roads and bridges. It's also about grid security. It's also about how are we transporting the energy we're producing in a way that's safer and that is better for the environment than some of the ways we're presently doing it.
There's a big battle, of course, between the Republicans and the Democrats, but there's also a big battle between Donald Trump and traditional insider Republicans. Do you think Donald can move forward in a way that makes sense, matching business and energy in a way that's effective? I mean, are we going to get rid of the coal-fired power plants? I don't think we should. Barack made crazy moves to do that. I believe that we'll have energy problems and stability problems with electricity and everything as a result of his actions if they're not reversed. You think Donald will get a handle on that? What do you expect?
Well, look, energy is a huge job creator. And here in the United States, what we're doing with renewable energy, with what we're doing with making traditional energy cleaner and safer, those innovations are also creating jobs. I mean, we talk a lot about how are we producing, how are we extracting, how are we generating energy. But one of the things that gets left out is the amount of manufacturing that goes into this sector. I mean, Americans want to make things again. The energy sector has a lot of opportunity through infrastructure, through renewables, to produce and create things over and over again. I mean, in a lot of states, they're putting up the wind turbines. In Iowa, wind is a significant contributor of their energy market there, and you know, becoming an energy-rich state due to their wind. But in states like Utah, there are also facilities that are manufacturing the parts that make that possible for Iowa to have that energy boom. So there are many parts of this conversation, and I think it's really exciting, and this is what you know, the new administration, the new Congress want to talk about it. We want to talk about the solutions and not about the arguments that are dividing us.
Well, let's face it. The new energy opportunities, some of them are great. Some of them are a big old lie, though. And I'll give you an example. You know, if we get an electric car, we act like we're running around with all this clean energy. But the fact is, by the time we put everything into the electricity to get the electricity to power the quote clean car, I'm not sure we've truly saved anything. Some of this is a game being played, right?
Well, look, as we are looking at new technologies and talking about the smart grid, so as we're talking about infrastructure, we should be making sure that the energy grid is as smart as possible, that we're creating technologies that allow us to use the energy we're producing efficiently, more efficiently than we presently are. I mean, if we're going to produce this and we're going to become an energy-rich state and we want to become energy independent, this isn't just a conversation about how are we supplying that energy, but also how we're using that energy. So, you know, when you're having a renewable powered car, battery powered car, being able to plug it in, making sure that it's getting charged at the right time in the cycle of when energy is cheaper, when it's more expensive, when more is being demanded, and then also looking at new battery technologies that will allow some of these sources of energy to be used throughout the day. All of this, you know, look, all of this is about maximizing what we have here, what we've been given here in the United States. To make us energy independent. This is, you know, we'll talk a lot about jobs and the economy. This is also a national security issue for us.
Amen to that. James, give me your website. Let's learn a little bit more about you guys.
Yeah. Our website is citizens4for.com. And on our website, you'll read a lot about the work that we've been doing, a lot of the polling that we've been doing. We spend a lot of time studying and better understanding where Republican voters are on these issues. What are the things that matter to them? And, you know, there's a very important conversation that is going to be had around how are we cutting government red tape? How are we streamlining and making efficiencies so that we can bring things like advanced nuclear online? You know, we talk a lot about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and we talk a lot about wind and solar, which is obviously part of that, but nuclear. Nuclear is a big part of that conversation, and the role that natural gas will play as well in helping us transition our economy and our energy sector into one that's an innovative one, and that's creating things that we can then ship to other countries to help them power their countries as well.
One of the things I find fascinating is a lot of times everybody wants to talk about the energy grid, and I think it's certainly a key component that we cannot overlook. However, I'm really the kind of guy that says, you know what, let's find a way to produce energy locally in everybody's backyard, if you will. Let's find a way to do it inexpensively, efficiently. You can use low-power nuclear reactors, believe it or not, and you can really do a lot of amazing things. And they've even got a nuclear reactor at the University of Utah, believe it or not, that you can just walk up and look at, watch, run, and understand. Now, it may be too low-powered, but the point is we can learn to do this and really take, for the most part, the idea that we don't need a centralized grid of any kind, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, this is also a conversation about energy choice, giving folks that option of looking at, you know, is it solar panels? Is it small-scale nuclear? Is it community wind or solar farms? Is it a hydro project for your community? I mean, all of this is about creating opportunities for energy choice and, you know, figuring out what that appropriate role for government is in terms of making sure that things are safe and ensuring that things are producing what they're saying they're going to produce. But beyond that, allowing these communities to make the decisions that are smart and best for the residents there.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of options out there. And one of the things we don't want to do is stick to so much of a single thought issue or one side of the aisle or something to where we can't really discuss this in an open way. It seems like if I bring up, you know, rejecting the grid for local production of power, et cetera, people kind of think I'm a heretic. But I'm convinced that the more centralized control we create, the more red tape there'll be, the more complicated it'll be, the more expensive it'll be, the more difficult it'll be to maintain and keep up. Pretty soon everybody's running around saying the yesteryear grid's going to melt down. There's plenty of better ways. I think what we need is a big roundtable to really lay out the options. A lot of these options even get buried in big business and patents and the effort to control and things. There's a lot of ways, James Dozier, that we can move forward in a way that would be more effective. Give your website out one more time, will you?
Yeah, it's citizens4for.com.
Citizens4.com. James, my friend, make sure that you keep in touch with us and keep us up to date on what Donald really gets done, will you?
Will do. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, my friend. Back in seconds, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use everywhere. It's amazing how hard it is to get into the district, ladies and gentlemen. We thought it was going to be like, what, Kurt, 45-minute, maybe an hour at the most ride. We're at it about an hour and a half plus. We're trying to get into the city here, downtown Washington, D.C., And every time Siri is saying, there's a better way you can save 10 minutes. There's a better way you could save 5 minutes. Taking those side trips, I think, is the big disaster, Kurt. What do you say to that?
Well, I guess maybe Siri's got to remember that if she tells everybody there's a better way, you know, then what's going to happen is, man, that better way is going to get all jammed up.
We got to turn Kurt up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, Kurt, down on me. Yeah, all right. Know, Kurt's too
you're
loud.
Just too quiet, Sam.
All right. There's Kurt. There's Sam. Is that better, Kurt or Ben? All right. Now we're sounding a little better, Kurt. Yeah, but if Siri tells everybody to go that way, Kurt,
yeah.
The thought that you got to have is Siri's supposed to be smart enough, right?
I know.
To tell enough people to go that way. And then when it gets too crowded that way, to be smart enough to re-engineer on the fly or recalculate on the fly and not tell people to go that way now because it's not faster anymore, right?
You are going to have to talk with Siri a little bit.
Yeah, because I think Siri's on drugs.
Yeah, you're going to have to straighten her out.
Siri's nuts on parade. Dumbest chick I know, by the way. Now Kurt's too low. Come on, Kurt. What is up with you?
Yeah.
You got to get on your mic, my friend.
I am on my mic. Just the same place I was.
All right. Is that better?
You know, when you turn those knobs and things change, you know.
All right. Yeah. We'll turn Kurt up even more. I should have just turned me up and not Kurt down is what I should have done. That's always the answer. Yeah. All right. Is that better than Ben? All right. So I just find it fascinating. Siri's telling us to go all over the place, having a hard time getting into D.C. Energy is a critical component. I'm glad James came by to discuss this, Kurt. We do need people to have common sense for energy. Responsible, meaning not spend too much. Responsible, meaning not let government get too involved. But to create a level playing field, let the free market work, let the options be discussed in the round table, find out what's really best, moving forward with the free market to find better ways for batteries. I really think if we can get lower powered devices, meaning devices that don't take as much power, if we can really work on battery technology, I believe that's where the real answers are, Kurt. The biggest problem we have with long-term energy that could be delivered on demand is the battery crisis. Any comment on that from you?
Well, you called it a battery crisis. I don't, you know, at least typically what you have is you have all the regulators being the crises creators.
All right. From that point of view, I agree. I'm just
regulators
saying,
and all
of all the energy advancements we have, batteries are the biggest problem.
Yeah. And from what I can see, though, there's a whole bunch of good stuff coming on that. I wouldn't be surprised, though, the thing that was holding it back would be regulators and, you know, like the EPA guys maybe about disposing of batteries. And, I mean, you know, a number of things like that. Because what you'll get is you'll get these companies that go, man, if I get sued by, you know, XYZ agency, I'm out of business. And that happens quite often, I think, Sam.
You're right. Government oftentimes slows things down with their red tape. You know, the liberals and those would just say, well, they're just trying to get it right, Sam. They're just trying to do it right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I get that. At the same time, your point's well taken that do we have a battery crisis or do we have a free market crisis, Kurt? Because if we let the free market go, I think they'd build a better mousetrap tomorrow, right?
That's a great point. Yep, I agree. And it's impressive to see what happens when the free market, really does its job, you know. You know, Sam, as we arrived yesterday into the Washington, D.C. area, and I guess you could say get a feel for the what's happening, you know. I see the headline from Drudge today. He says, party's over, and it shows these sad-looking political appointees all standing there and headed out. We got a report last night from an insider at the Department of Education saying that they got all these going away parties going on now as people vacate the premises and the new, you know, I guess you could say appointees take their spots. Anyway, interesting to be. Well, I guess you could say not really a fly on the wall, you know, seeing things, but participant as we see things going on. But, man, Washington, D.C., huge amounts of your tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, every lobbyist, every company in the world has got to be here trying to get more and more of that.
You know, it surprises me when I get into the Beltway or get into the D.C. area. It seems like, you know how you go out into the country and you feel like, man, these rednecks are just like a step back in time. I feel like I've just gone to the 1950s. It's kind of like that, Kurt, but it's a different kind of morph, a different kind of time warp.
Yeah.
To where you go into this idea that there's kind of not reality. We came in, I scanned the AM dial, all the radio stations I could find to find the best talk show hosts I could find, all the FM channels as well, Kurt.
Yep.
I just literally scanned the dial on both venues, if you will. And there's not a single talk show that I felt like, man, these guys are getting it done. I heard people that were like national government radio and, you know, federal news radio and all this stuff. And all they were talking about was the congressmen and the senators and what these people are doing and how they're doing it and da-da-da-da-da. And I found myself going, you know what? I don't care what they're doing. They need to listen to what we're doing. We don't need to just be, you know, acting like they're the entertainment venue and we're kind of like at the arena, the sports arena kind of a thing. This isn't like Rome and we're watching the games. You know what? They work for us. And so I heard a lot of that. And it was very partisan in nature. The next group of broadcasts that I heard were very promotion of new media stuff in the sense of very liberal ideas. You know, spending of government money, the education system needs to be funded and promoted big time. We got to promote the, you know, transgender, the this and that, to the point where they were really focusing on everything liberal. There's not a conservative voice in the mix. And then the third kind of talk radio we heard, Kurt, so you got the federal kind of talk radio, government news, if you will. You got the second one, which is very partisan, very liberal, left-leaning. But then the third part was a kind of, I'm going to tune out from politics radio. And we heard a discussion where the hosts are sitting there, and they bring on this girl who had some dates with a guy, and it melted down, and she didn't know why. And then they brought on the guy, and he explained why. And basically, they went to a wine vineyard or whatever for a date. And it was muddy, and she got mud in his car. And so the debate was, you know, he dumped her because he got mud, and she got mud in his car, and she didn't think that was fair. And which side does the audience take, Kurt?
Yeah.
And I got thinking to myself, you know what? I mean, number one, I don't care which side you pick. I see value to his point and value to her point. Personally, if I had to pick, I might choose her side a little bit, only in the sense that we've become so petty in our society. We've come so focused on things that just don't matter, things that somehow waste our time, have us focus on efforts that aren't of great value. We need to be focusing on greater relationships. You know, it isn't the question of why he dumped her. Oh, she got mud in the car, or she thinks he's bogus because he wants to keep his car perfect. Those are tiny little discussion points that may have validity in relationships. Agreed. But at the end of the day, these issues aren't the real issue. The real issue is that we've become a divided society in husband and wife, in male and female, in Republican and Democrat, in conservative, liberal, in whatever the case may be. And I just see this almost highlighted with greater focus in Washington than I see anywhere else, Kurt. It's like a microcosm time warp, and I'm afraid to drink the water, is all I'm kind of saying. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. We are broadcasting live from Radio Row. We are in Washington, D.C. at the Marriott Hotel right now, live. And we're going to be covering the convention, or not the convention, wow, the inauguration and a whole lot more in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
McAfee antivirus system creator John McAfee has presented detailed criticism of the Obama administration's claim that a Russian malware program the administration christened Grizzly Step connects the Russian government to the alleged hacking of DNC emails. The administration's theory focuses on four elements: the presence of some Russian language in the malware, the claim that the keyboard used in the hack used the Cyrillic alphabet, the compiler had a date time stamp on it corresponding to Moscow's time zone, and the IP address pointed to a Russian source. that each of these is surpassingly easy to create in order to lay down a fake evidence trail. In fact, he asserts, any second-rate hacker would know how to do so. And of course, the CIA also knows how to falsify each of these elements to throw any investigation off the trail. Also of note is the fact that the malware used on the supposed DNC hack was a year and a half old, and there have been many subsequent updates. This raises an obvious question. Why would Russian intelligence agencies or contractors in their employ use an out-of-date program? The government claimed that this malware, APT-28 and APT-29, came from two organizations related to the Russian government in Ukraine is also false, McAfee contends. These two designations of the software come from a teen hacking organization that tracks hacking all over the world. It's not specific to Russia or Ukraine, even though they may use these tools. Hacking tools are disseminated all over the world, and it's impossible to say who is behind them. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped. And having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live from Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the Embassy Suites. Actually, we're staying at the Embassy Suites, getting ready for our event for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, Saturday, all day long, CSPOA.org/T3 if you want to get involved in that. But we are live from the Marriott right now, broadcasting in downtown D.C., getting ready for the inauguration. Yeah, there's tons of traffic, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, tons. It's beyond imagination. But it's not as crazy as I thought. Not as crazy as I thought at all. It's very busy. It's very trafficy. But it's very mellow. I've only seen one group of protesters thus far at the event. We had the opportunity to go downtown last night, D.C., and we went to the Trump Hotel, and we went to the Trump restaurant there, had a delightful dinner, by the way, some of the most delicious steak I've ever had, incredible steak, incredible salad, and more. But when we were there, we were going in, and people were saying, shut it down, shut it down. And at first, I couldn't find out what the heck they wanted to shut down. I'm like, and at first, we thought they want to shut down D.C. entirely. Do they really want to shut down D.C.? Are you kidding me? I'm not for shutting down the government. I believe in the proper role of government, okay? But it turns out they wanted to shut down the Trump Hotel. They just think Trump is an illegitimate guy, illegitimate president, not worthy of being involved at all, and they wanted to shut down Donald Trump.
It was sure a nice hotel, by the way.
It was an incredible hotel. I want to get to that and get to the aesthetics of the building and more in a second.
That steak was...
But before we get to all that, Kurt, what do you think of these protesters, though? They're just like, shut it down. I mean, look, if it's Trump's property, Trump's hotel, and he wants to build a hotel, do we believe in America anymore?
You know, the thing is, Sam, as soon as, at least on their way out, there were no TV cameras or nobody covering it. So there were no protesters. You know, they showed up basically for a media event. And, you know, so that's what was going on. You know, and if you were somebody watching at home or whatever, then you think, hey, man, Washington, D.C. is covered up by these crazies that have these signs that say stop Trump and Pence before they even get sworn in, you know. That's basically what their signs say. So in other words, just hold up the whole process and, you know, do what they want. I'm not hearing your audio in my ears.
They had a drum and they were chanting. And you kind of go, what on earth are they doing? They just wanted to basically disrupt Donald. And you're right, when there was no cameras, then they were ready to go ahead and protest and shout and do their thing. The second, though, the media kind of rolled up, it seemed like they decided that we're done here.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. They almost are in cahoots, you know, because the media's got to have something to cover, Sam.
They cover the fact that Donald's going to be president, and that we're going to lower taxes, and we're going to bring in more jobs, and that we're going to do a phenomenal thing, and both sides of the aisle are pretty much for those ideas, Kurt?
Well, because, Sam, that's not exactly what they typically want to promote.
If we did that, we could have copycats, and more politicians could get on board, and we could work together for solutions and make America great.
Yeah, we might
even
get statesmen, though.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be phenomenal. But you're right. So anyway, when we went in, the protesters were there. When we came out, they were virtually gone, right?
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing about the protesters is none of them engaged. They were like in their little cordoned off, I don't know if you call it a protest area, Kurt, or what, but they were pretty contained. They didn't
right? Yeah, and they've got to be there for the filming, Sam. They got to be there for in the camera area. So if you get outside the camera zone, then, you know, that's, you're not going to be on anything.
Now,
you know?
I find it fascinating. So what they really want to do is they want to get there early. They want to protest in a very limited way.
Yeah.
They want to take their own video of it. They want to, you know, put their spin on it. They want to upload it to YouTube and new media stuff and social media and all that kind of stuff. And then what they want to do is they want to break it down and take off before anybody can really cover what's going on.
Well, yeah.
They want to be contained. They don't really want to engage with us. They don't have a discussion. See, well, I was going to interview some of those people when we came out of the restaurant. When we went in, I was too hungry.
Yes, you were.
But on the way out, well, I hadn't eaten all day, Kurt. We got up at 3 a.m. and I didn't eat till 6 p.m.
Now when you stand sideways, you can't even really see you're there. You know
I know. It's getting more that way every day. That's for sure.
Incredible.
But all I'm telling you is, so we went in, I was hungry, but I wanted to come out and interview those guys, but they were gone.
Yeah.
That's the only real protest of any kind we've seen, Kurt. Very self-contained. In their defense, they have the right to protest. And in their defense, they were very mellow. Nobody was rude. Nobody, you know, caused any harm to anyone. They were fine.
Well, there has been some reports, Sam, according to the Drudge Report, some protester lit himself on fire. And I kind of wish I could have seen that because,
Kurt,
I mean, that would be kind of a way to heat up the situation.
You don't
want to
watch somebody burning themselves down. Now, although I will say this, is that you're right. I mean, look, Kurt, if you can have assisted suicide, right?
Yep, that's
right. And if you can go ahead and do the Jack Kevorkian or whatever, and, you know, you have the right to die, then do you have the right to just, you know, light yourself on fire?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, you know, because especially if you're wrapped in an American flag, I mean, you know, because you can burn those, I mean, you know.
You can burn the flag, yeah.
Yeah, I mean. You know,
wrap yourself in the flag and you can just kill two birds with one stone. Burn the flag and, you know.
You too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You too, yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah, good point.
See, because you got to have the social media there. Anyway, I found that interesting. Now, I want to move on to the aesthetics of this Trump.
Oh, Sam,
venue.
But you'll be really concerned because Joe Biden says that the world order is at risk of collapse. And so you can see why.
Does that mean the insiders are going to lose control? And the media is going to take center stage?
You can see why people like that are really worried. I mean, with Joe Biden saying stuff like that, I mean.
Pervert Grandpa Uncle Joe wants to what now? You mean he just won't be at the top of the heap anymore? Is that what's going on?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. He's going to start a new, at least the reports are, is that he's going to start a new business on teaching people how to do essays and stuff. Now,
essays?
Yeah, remember
like
how
writing
he was
for
plagiarist?
School?
He got all that plagiarism before.
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, the qualifications to be able to do that, you know. But anyway, Joe in the future, you know.
All right. Anyway, very interesting.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the aesthetics of this building, though, Kurt, because that's one thing we really were impressed with.
Yes.
First off, just so you guys know, the current Trump restaurant / hotel, a portion of it used to be a post office, right, Kurt?
Yeah, the whole thing. Basically,
the whole thing?
I mean, it's a big old building, and, you know, as far as I can tell, it's way bigger than we ever needed for that. But, you know, maybe at that time, the whole office of the post office was in one place, I suppose.
Well, doing right, at least it got spun off to private sector, and at least people are doing some value with it.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
but we mentioned that, you know, these old buildings have character, Kurt. They have style. They really, in my humble opinion, have something to be desired. It's just, it was cool to be there. It was cool to see a post office turned into a private business restaurant hotel. And instead of, you know, a lot of people talked about demoing or demolition of that thing, right?
Yes.
But no, it got rescued and saved, and now Donald and the private sector has turned it into something. It's really a pretty building. It's a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm. And as he reported, you know, we got it done on what, under budget and on time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, imagine government doing that.
Well, that's what we're hoping for the next administration. Now, time will tell if it really happens. Mm-hmm. You know, all the insiders who have, quote, government experience are running around saying, you know, the problem with Donald is he just doesn't have any experience. He'll understand soon enough.
Yeah, good
point. I hope they're wrong and he's right, though. Not because I want Donald to be right, not because I want conservatives to be right, but because I want the truth to stand on its own. I want people to realize, look, there can be a better way, Kurt.
Yep. I'll tell you what, though, Sam, you know, some folks are, you know, rejoicing around here, and others say, you know, they got tears. You know, the headlines from the Associated Press.
Do you have tears, Kurt?
Not really.
Are you the rejoicer?
I'm kind of in the middle, I guess, you know, but I don't think it could get much worse, so hey. But the headline from the AP, amid packing boxes and tears, staffers leaving White House. Josh Letterman. So, you know, it shows, it says they line up near the Oval Office down the hallway toward the cabinet room,
so
trailed
sad.
By their spouses and young kids in their finest clothes. Yeah, paid for by your big tax dollar.
Now, I got a question,
though.
If you're leaving, why do you wear your finest clothes when you're leaving? Why not just put on the Levi's and say, look, we're here for a work day. We're going to get it done. Because they all wanted the media op, Kurt. They want their sad crocodile tears. You watch them in, like when they're behind the poster or something and they're laughing. But
yeah,
then
they
in public,
when it's
crocodile
their turn.
Tears all dressed up.
Yeah, the White House staffers enter for a few private moments with President Barack Obama, a photo and a farewell hug from the boss.
Are you going to get a hug from Barack, Kurt?
Not on my list. There's a mass exodus, they say, underway this week at the White House. I mean, it was definitely
busy. Did you say a mass exodus?
Yeah, on the freeway. It was
busy. That sounds like something to celebrate, my friend.
Yeah, amen to that.
Maybe we just need to celebrate after the broadcast.
As Obama, they say, holds his last news conference.
Really?
Today.
The last one from this guy?
Yeah. Do you really think that's true, Sam?
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, his staff, they say, is busy packing up their offices and turning in their BlackBerries. For some who joined Obama's team right out of college.
Maybe they'll get iPhones and upgrade from the CrackBerries for a change.
It's the end of the only professional experience they've ever known. Oh.
The only professional experience they've ever known? Maybe the private sector do those folks some good. Liberty Roundtable Live from D.C. in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live from your favorite talk station. Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Absolutely. All the way live from Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby on your radio. Took us an hour and a half to get into the broadcast today. Traffic everywhere, it's crazy, but it's so far, for the most part, a peaceful crowd, except for the dude that lit himself on fire. That we recommend not to try at home.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and Sam, you know, they say the final days of any president's administration, this is according to the, you know, boys up here is how it all works. They say these final days are always bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
And heavy on nostalgia.
All I'm telling you is heavy on the sweet.
Yeah. They say because these officials are facing the transition back to being, quote, civilians, end quote.
Mm. Yeah, that's a blessing. I'm super excited for those folks. Instead of wearing all them fancy clothes, they can just bust out and get normal clothes like the rest of us, huh?
Yeah, right? They say they're going to no longer have their hands on the nation's levers of power.
Amen to that.
Ooh. Yet they say there's added sadness this time. For
I'm
Obama
saying there's
staffers,
added count your many blessings, Kurt.
Who are mostly horrified by the incoming administration of President-elect Donald Trump.
See, I don't know why they're horrified,
horrified. Then you got Nate Lowenthal.
Don't you think we're vilified, Kurt?
Or I guess it's Nate Lowenthal. Anyway, he worked on Obama's National Economic Council for the last 3 years, and he said this. He said, "You're always aware that it's a special privilege to work there and not something to take for granted." He went on to say it's particularly
hard. Yeah, they're
hard.
Saying that now that they've lost the election, right?
Yes. Okay. It's particularly hard knowing the next wave of people coming are going to be working to reverse the things you are working to advance.
Oh, boy, howdy are they.
Your very last hour, end quote. Boy, I'll tell you what, tears and sadness all over on Washington and Capitol Hill.
All right, Kurt, next hour I want to talk a little bit about your predictions for the next 100 days to get kind of a take on that. Yesterday's broadcast.
I will give you that right now if you want. I'll give you a quick summary.
All right.
The next 100
Kurt doesn't
days,
want to tease the audience away
well,
until the next hour. He wants to
no,
do it right now.
Know,
go.
I mean, because I'm suggesting that the next 100 of days will take a little bit more than 3 months. And, you know, that's pretty Man, much my insight.
That's like Kurt Crosby telling you yeah. score more points than the other guys and you'll win stuff.
That's right. I've got the details, and my keys to the game will win every time if you follow.
All right. So, but no guesses for the first 100 days, Kurt?
Well, yeah, but I can't tell you now. I mean, you said I was supposed to wait till next hour, right?
All right. So yesterday we had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Yes.
We talked about audit the Fed in the House, Kurt. It's
well,
H.R.
you mean,
24.
You mean, let's see. We did have him on Monday, yeah. So I guess you said yesterday, but you mean...
Well, last broadcast, if you want to get technical, because we had a refeed because we were on an airplane.
Yeah,
you're right.
We were
but Monday's show, it was H.R. 24. And when they launched it, they had 58 co-sponsors. Now they've added 10 more. There's 68 co-sponsors now.
Yep, very good.
In the Senate, there were 9 co-sponsors of S-16, and now they're 11, so they added two co-sponsors there. And Ron Paul made an interesting statement. For 105 years, the Federal Reserve has exercised almost absolute and unquestioned authority over America's monetary policy. And the result has been a boom and bust. That's interesting. Business cycle, growth in government, increasing income equality, or inequality, I'm sorry, and loss of over 90% of the purchasing power. No wonder 80-plus percent of the American people support auditing the Fed, Kurt. It's a pretty bold statement, and I think it's spot on.
I mean, now I know that we have all this government transparency and, Freedom of Information Act and all that kind of stuff.
But yes.
Imagine a government agency or what I would call a so-called government agency, the Federal Reserve, not having an audit ever.
Yeah, that's a problem, and that's part of the inside issue that we're talking about. In fact, eight men, Kurt, in the world now own the same amount of wealth as the poorest half of the world combined, says USA Today.
Yeah.
The world's 10 largest corporations together have revenue greater than the 180 poorest countries combined. That number's staggering, Kurt.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about these eight men. You got Bill Gates, $75 billion. Amancio Ortega, $67 billion. Warren Buffett, $60.8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Slim, $50 Jeff Bezos around $50 billion
as well.
Carlos
Slim doesn't have that slim of a wallet, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff Bezos is only at $45 billion. He's way down.
That's right. He's in the soup line for the fat cats, you know, the rich guys.
Mark Zuckerberg, $44 mm-hmm. billion. Larry Ellison, the Google guy, $43
billion. Yeah.
And these guys got a lot of money.
Why isn't Larry Ellison's name Google? You know, I mean, if he started, it should be like Larry Google. You know,
yeah.
I mean?
Michael Bloomberg came in last. He's only got $40 billion about.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Now, they also say millennials are financially worse off than their parents, as their parents were as young people. So they're comparing, you know, the millennials now to what, you know, their parents were when they were young people. And basically, the millennials are worse off, Daily Caller writes. I kind of find that fascinating.
Yeah.
What a tragic economic reality, and hopefully we'll change the game. Hopefully,
kind of connects up with the whole Obama thing. Huh? You know.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with people getting wealthy, Kurt. That's the American way. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What I'm not okay with is pulling the lever of government to make sure that you get wealthy at the expense of others and using government to get there.
You don't think it's fair to have government like winners and losers? Imagine that.
All right, by the way, we talked about The Blue Tent Sky. That's a book written by a guy named Ryan. What's his last name, Kurt?
The Blue Sky?
Aitken, I guess.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A-I-T-K-E-N, Ryan Aitken.
Okay.
I guess it's Brian Aitken. Anyway, this interesting book that Tom Woods highlights, that was fascinating. We talked quite a bit about that with Lowell Nelson and about how the right to keep and bear arms being, trodden underfoot by government, if you will. Mm. We also talked about the Kansas gun case in the state of Kansas pitting federal law against states' rights. That was a big focus, too.
Wow.
So gun rights are another issue. Financial issues in the Federal Reserve and one issue. Gun rights, another issue that will be dealt with in the Trump administration upcoming. That'll be interesting to watch the changes. The Republicans are on the move to give people greater rights to carry, Kurt.
Wow, imagine that.
Some would say greater privileges to carry. I would understand that and agree. All I'm telling you is whenever we can move the needle in the right way for liberty, it's a positive for us. That was hour one of the rebroadcast on Monday. Hour two, we talked to Maureen Bravo. She was our guest with Liberty Prayer Network. That's the Prayer Ministry of Liberty Council.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty interesting, in my opinion, LibertyPrayerNet.org is their website, but they've got an interesting take. They're really praying around the clock for Donald Trump and for his success. They say you can become a prayer partner for many of our important cases and activity by joining Liberty Council's Liberty Prayer Network.
Yeah.
To pray for our work internationally and as an advocate for America. You can take a stand for the future of America by signing the USA Trumpet, is what they're calling it. Call to a holy convocation, to welcome the King of Glory into our nation. Now, I signed it, sent it to Kurt, and Kurt... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put an X on there as well.
All right, good. Kurt Crosby will learn to sign his name soon, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. But for now, he put a big ol' X on that dude. Now, Martin Luther King's niece even voted, Kurt, for the Donald.
I know, and
now she's a black liberal, Kurt.
She's politically incorrect now, Sam.
I'm congratulating her.
We'd have to call her an Uncle Tom.
No, we don't. We have to say she's a red-blooded American.
They call her an Uncle Thomasina?
Her skin happens to be black, but you know what? She's an American, and she voted her conscience, Kurt, and I commend her for it.
Wow. Just imagine that.
Yeah. Mm. We also talked about the wall of meat. That's bikers.
Yeah.
They're going to defend Trump at the inauguration, writes Martin Brillis. A group that calls us bikers for Trump is planning to shield Donald Trump protesters and supporters at the January 20th inauguration events. Mm. It's an inauguration day celebration. Shield the Trump supporters from protesters. The founder of the group, his name is Chris Cox. He says, in no way, shape, or form are we vigilantes, he said on Fox News. That's pretty interesting. We will have a presence during the presidential inauguration. We have full confidence. Denied. What's that, Kurt?
Nothing is official until it's been denied.
No. Yeah. Kurt's got to get excited, though. We'll have to turn him back up in a minute.
Really? I didn't hear Ben say I was too quiet. I didn't hear that, so... I think I'm okay.
All right. The Metropolitan Police, all the different government police organizations the bikers have confidence in.
Yeah.
They say we'll be shoulder to shoulder with our brothers, and we'll be toe-to-toe with anyone that plans to break through police barriers or break any laws, Kurt. I support the bikers and their peaceful efforts.
Imagine that.
And I'm not even a biker.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Bikers for Trump has a permit for what is believed to be the biggest pro-Trump rally in D.C., all the anti-people have plenty of permits, but this is the biggest, pro-Trump permit. They're going to have 5,000 bikers there, they claim. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Wow, that's a lot of bikers. And, I...
You're going to ride your hog into the mix, Kurt?
Well, I think it'll be good. I don't have one, but I am for hogs. I kind of enjoy that. I mean, around Washington, D.C., there's a lot of hog and that up here.
We had hog this morning, didn't we, Kurt?
Yeah.
Kurt was eating bacon.
That's right. Sausage and bacon.
Anyway, fantastic news. We support the police. We support the idea to keep order in America. And you know what? For those who are disgruntled, who lost the election... It's time to find a way forward. It's time to work together to find solutions. It's time to set aside differences and stand for America and the peaceful transfer of power. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one in the can, live from Washington, D.C. Hour two coming up in seconds. And you'll get some of the predictions for the first day in office for Donald Trump and the first 100 days from Sam and Kurt. A couple of surprise guests will be on your radio as well in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live, LibertyNewsRadio.com. This nation shall endure.